We are going to go ahead and get started. I know that traffic was a bear tonight, so we have people who are still trickling in. But we do have a busy meeting today with a lot of, with a big focus and a lot of time that's going to be dedicated to the small group discussion, as you see from how the tables are set up tonight. And this is going to be our chance to really come to a better understanding of the corridors and projects that we're considering. We also do have a lot of people here tonight that have signed up for public comment, so let's go ahead and move straight into that. Ellison?
Yes.
Sorry. Oh, no, you're fine. We had a last-minute switch-up with some folks deciding to give up their seats for public comment, so apologies for the messiness on the board. So, folks, if you have not given public testimony before, a reminder that we've moved to a lottery system, so we have 15 slots for public comment this evening of a minute and 45 seconds each. I will be timing next to you and give you a gentle reminder and then a not-so-gentle reminder when your time is up. And we just ask if you see your name is coming up next that you be waiting in the wings. And some folks are already up and waiting. So thank you so much for helping us run this smoothly this evening. Craig is going to continue writing so up to our 15 names so we can go ahead and get started. So our first few speakers this evening will be Carrie, Jesse, Isabella, and Jan. So if you can just be waiting in the wings and ready to go, and we'll kick things off with Carrie. I invite you to come up for public testimony.
Sure. Ready? Okay. Good evening, members of the task force, and thank you to the community members in attendance and solidarity tonight. Thanks for being here. My name is Kari Schlosshauer, and I'm here tonight representing the Getting There Together Coalition. We represent more than 50 members and mission-based organizations in the region. Many of the people in the community that T2020 transportation investments would impact and benefit. We appreciate the opportunity to provide that perspective as you consider which projects to recommend for inclusion in a possible T2020 measure. You have our full written comments in front of you. It's the first one in the packet, and it starts on page 3 with our recommendations. In the interest of time, I will be brief. I wanted to say our initial assessment of the staff recommendation is that many but not all of these investments are a good start and will represent important investments to the people living and moving along corridors with long-known safety and transit access issues. The coalition finds that the staff recommendations do not go far enough to address the existing transportation equity, safety, transit, and climate needs to prioritize moving people, not cars. If the task force and the Metro Council really wants to see transformational impacts through this measure, and to be clear, our coalition does, the coalition recommends turning T2020 into a transformative first step in addressing our region's transportation needs by doubling down on the corridors where the needs are greatest, removing from consideration projects where the needs and impact do not match the values laid out by the task force and Metro Council. By doing so, you're taking the right step to ensure T2020 will create truly transformative transportation outcomes, take steps towards achieving our regional goals, and meeting the needs of people who live and move about in our communities. To summarize, in order to reach our regional goals and address community needs, we call on the task force to recommend T2020 fully fund all the safety, equity, and access projects and ensure transit improvements are included in all of the corridors.
Thank you. Good evening. My name is Jesse Marin. I volunteer with 350 PDX, among other organizations, and I'm the parent of a teen who struggles daily to come to terms with a desperate future. You will hear from your community about the devastation of climate change, the urgent need for substantive action towards our climate goals, about the imperative for fareless transit that is free from harassment, and for protection from death by car as we walk and roll in our neighborhoods. You will hear and have heard about the catastrophic weather events that climate change is giving us. You will see the waves of climate refugees from the fires in California and from all of the hurricanes and civil unrest past and yet to come. You can imagine the rise in numbers of people unable to find affordable housing, unable to afford to get to work or to school, simply unable. And all of this sounds like a huge task for someone to take care of. Yet every member of this task force and of the Metro Council and every person in this room is personally responsible for the future of this region. We must craft a future that does not look like the past, no longer applying expensive and ineffective incremental and racist attempts to use old thinking to solve the future's problems. We must establish a legacy of bold leadership for immediate and sustained reduction in climate emissions. And we must ensure that this region's people of color, low-income people, and transit-dependent people experience a personal and substantial increase in opportunity, wealth, and health. The preliminary staff recommendations are woefully inadequate in the face of this crisis. So we urge you to reject the staff recommendations as they currently stand and to put forward a truly inspirational plan to protect our future.
Yeah. Good evening. My name is Isabella Esbeck. I am a junior at Lincoln High School. I'm speaking today on behalf of Sunrise PDX, a growing movement of young people invested in a just and sustainable future. I would like you to think about where you would like to be in 11 years. Where do you live? What are your priorities? In 11 years, thanks to the lack of action from past generations, my climate future will be sealed. I will only be 26. I am a junior in high school. I should not be spending my time researching how my future dreams, plans, and life will be affected by this crisis. I should not be spending my Wednesday evening testifying in front of you. I should be studying for my math test, playing sports, and hanging out with my friends. Yet, I am here with you today. I have not given up hope that we, as a society, can change. Seeing 4 million people march for the climate around the world on September 20th, I now know the power in numbers and community. On behalf of Sunrise, I urge you to seriously consider the impact of this proposal. Currently, the proposed package includes numerous road expansions and highway projects, under the assumption that this makes it more appealing to voters. However, the polling shows that people are in favor of a package that prioritizes clean air and improved safety. Furthermore, and even more importantly, compromising on this issue means compromising on the future of my generation. Doing so means that my generation will be forced to remember this moment in which the elected officials and community leaders across the room pat themselves on the back for doing something about climate, while still spending hundreds of millions on unnecessary road capacity expansions when we could have instead build more transit, biking, and walking investments. We will continue to hold you accountable. Thank you.
Jan is next, followed by Ted.
We are looking into the face of death, and instead of choosing life, we are letting ourselves bleed out painfully as our children, like you've just heard, watch gasping and crying in despair. What in the hell are we doing? This is Code Red. We can't continue to live by saving a few limbs while our core is infested and rotting. It is our core that keeps us alive, our core values, our core wisdom, our core vision of how we want to be in this city, in this region, in this moment, on this earth. As a teacher and a mother, I know that old, unhealthy habits are hard to break. Band-aid approaches to our transportation system will not fix it, but instead will exacerbate the problem and continue our bad habits. Last night at a fair in an old folk singer concert, she joked about her car, how she is her car is her, and sadly, I could relate. Adding more roads for more cars and more exhaust will kill us, and while we all laughed last night, it is not funny. I don't want to spend more time in my car, I want a transit system that works. Those of us that are part of the problem want to be part of the solution, and we need you, the decision makers, to be brave. This is especially urgent for our neighbors and friends that are transit dependent. We all know that people need to be able to get around and access what life has to offer. This is our moment right now to do this right and create a transit system that's life-affirming and moves more of us into thinking we are our best, not our car. We are our bike, not our car. We are a community, not individuals living in a bubble about to burst while those most impacted are already suffering. A smart transit system that connects people and places is the only path worth traveling on, not highways that promote one-person vehicles that are inequitable and isolate us from one another. We must commit to a radically different approach to a transportation or we will lose our way, and when there's no turning back, we have a choice to bleed out and die. It's clear. It's climate and inequity emergency. I implore you to reconsider.
Is Ted here? Ted, you're up next for public comment. Okay, then we are moving on to Allison. Allison followed by Ron and Charles. Is Allison here?
I think Allison.
Okay, Allison passes. Ron? Are you Ron?
Yep. Ron Soren, Portland, Oregon. I think there's a third rail in planning, and that's the factor of construction technology. I see a lot of projects that are being contemplated around here or have been done. And from my experience in construction, I look at things differently. I look at how they could have been done. One project was a Selwood Bridge where there was a $90 million original bid from a company, and this ended up as a $320 million project and did practically nothing to alleviate the traffic. What I want to say about the climate issue is concrete production accounts for 8% of greenhouse gases. Transportation is about 28%. But there's a lot of innovation going on in transportation. I read a website called Green Car Congress, and there's so many ideas that can happen now that couldn't have happened in the 60s or 70s. So it's a lot more advanced. And when we're back to concrete, just the production of that is, like I say, 8%, but then you have people heating large office buildings and places to live, and a lot of that's consuming natural gas. So it's kind of hard to meet the climate goals when you have really huge population increase. But I think in transportation, I believe there will be a lot of breakthroughs. It's going to take some patience, but from what I can see, there's a lot of innovation going on around the world. Thank you.
So we have Charles up next. And then our next five speakers. Brett, Eliza, Aaron, Brett, again.
Yes, my name is Charles Hornsby. I go by Skip. I'm from the Lake Oswego Urban Growth Management Area. I have a Portland address, and so I'm a conflagration of every jurisdiction in the metro area practically. My case in point is mile point 6.04, which happens to be State Highway 43. It's a Tier 2 project. I need City of Lake Oswego to increase the turn radius on a particular northwest corner. This allows TriMet buses southbound to get from the Portland Transit Mall to the Lake Oswego Transit Center. This has been an impediment for about 42 years since the schedule of 1977 June. I know this is not a project, but something has to be done about it within the next 5 days. Lake Oswego is going to make a decision on it. I need action yesterday. I've been at it 2 years and treated, frankly, with disdain by the City of Lake Oswego, Mayor Ken Studebaker, and I, frankly, have had it. Transit-dependent riders are treated. We don't get on committees. We don't get our things addressed by anybody. So how do I get it, and how do I get results? I'm looking for answers immediately. Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Brett Sherman of the Happy Valley City Council. First and foremost, thank you. Our city has had the privilege of attending most task force meetings. We've appreciated the community conversations around Highway 212 and the C2C, as well as the investments proposed to the staff's preliminary recommendation. As this table balances regional needs, Happy Valley encourages you to consider additional funding for the Sunrise Highway 212 corridor. As an emerging community, Happy Valley lacks some basic transportation connections. We have one of the lowest permanent tax rates in the region, limiting our ability to make investments. Sunrise and the C2C, however, are critical for regional well-being. home to 13,000 of my neighbors, Highway 212 serves our equity groups and naturally occurring affordable housing. Under existing conditions, safety and mobility hazards relegate residents to single-occupant vehicles. These conditions will likely exacerbate as we prepare for 43,000 more neighbors within the next 20 years. Likewise, the C2C is anticipated to serve 126,000 new jobs. Metro's T2020 funding measure is a once-in-a-generation opportunity for catalytic projects like the Sunrise Corridor. With your partnership, we stand ready to implement Metro's 2040 growth concept through innovative multimodal and transit-oriented facilities. Thank you.
My name is Eliza Schiff, and I will be 29 years old when our climate fate is sealed. Today, I'm speaking on behalf of Sunrise PDX. In October of 2012, I remember standing by the window of my house in Brooklyn, New York, watching the torrent of Hurricane Sandy sweep through the only home I'd ever known. I remember in the weeks and months that followed, learning of my neighbors who had lost power, lost their homes and schools, had their whole lives displaced by the storm, and most vividly, I remember my mother explaining to me that I was to grow up in a world haunted by a changing climate because our human society had failed to protect our planet, its resources, and each other. I was 11, and I was heartbroken. Last year, when the IPCC officially declared that we had 12 years to make radical, systematic, societal, and economic change before our climate fate is sealed indefinitely, I was no longer an ignorant little kid. At age 17, I was angry and determined and surrounded by thousands of my peers as we took to the streets, demanding action from our elected leaders. What we know is clear. There are systems in place that actively perpetuate the rapid change in our global climate. There are people in power who continue to prioritize the fossil fuel industry over the stability of our planet, but most importantly, there's a generation of young people who won't stand for it anymore. In 11 years, in 50 years, I want to look back at this moment as the turning point when my communities began to take bold action for a cleaner, brighter, and more livable society for all people. I'm here today to urge the T2020 Task Force members to stand up for my future by listening to groups such as the OPAL Environmental Justice Oregon, the Getting There Together Coalition, and 350 PDX, who are articulating specific road expansions that must be removed from this package, and the transit, biking, and walking projects that must be preserved. We demand a region connected not by clogged and poisonous freeways, but by an ambitious, equitable public transit system, and we're prepared to mobilize public opinion to achieve it. Thank you.
Aaron? Okay, Aaron is passing. Brett Morgan? Brett Morgan is also skipping. Edith?
I am Edith Gillis, and while I commend the staff for recognizing important corridors to be considering, we're going about it with problems, not with answers. We need to build integrated regional networks that include bicycling, bus, rail transit, trolley, and dedicated lanes with bicyclists safely and pedestrians safely separated, linking neighborhoods, stores, jobs, schools, parks, and natural areas. We need to build safe, connected pedestrian access to stations and start with most transit-dependent underserved communities. We need to stop having diesel and petroleum and methane and methanol poisoning that is causing birth defects, stillbirths, diseases, disabilities, and early death. We must stop being so cruel and racist. Stop poisoning and impoverishing our indigenous, black, brown, POC, our poor, unhoused, elderly, ill, and folks with disabilities who suffer most because of this emphasis on cars. Plan transportation for regenerative, just transition. That means fair, equitable, with disasters resiliency, with local energy, food, water, and mutual care. Build in permaculture and food. Build in nature areas. Build in our open areas, and we're going to have internal refugee camps with all the different gas line explosions. We must get rid of our underground gas lines. We have to be prepared for the flooding. We have to have green ways, not gray ways, not death ways.
I'm Ron Buell, and I've been watching your meetings and watching the staff lead them and seeing what kind of recommendations you're coming up with. I've read with care the Oregonian and the Tribune stories on the trial balloon that Andy Shaw put out to the press this last week. My sense of it is that there's not enough meat on the bone. There's not enough juice in what's being proposed at this point for $3 billion. It's a long way short of $20 billion, which is what the president of the council talked about. In talking to members of the Metro Council, Portland Ford has found that there's quite a bit of sympathy for doing something more aggressive with transit. So we think that Better Bus is a good program. We're not saying don't do Better Bus. I think it's important to realize, though, that buses have to stop and pick up passengers. So if they get an incremental nudge ahead from a traffic light or from paint on the street, they still have to give that up when they pull off to pick up passengers and get back into the queue. I'm not sure that the Better Bus program is really going to be anywhere near transformative for the bus system. What I think is needed is to recognize how much congestion we've got and how much climate change we're facing and to do something about it with transit.
Thank you.
And with that, we will conclude our public comment period for this evening. Thank you. Chairs.
Good evening. And before I move forward, I want to take a moment and thank all of you that have come out tonight to provide information, to provide testimony, to provide your passion. This is the place that we want to hear what you have to say. So I do extend my thanks and the thanks of the committee. The other thing I would encourage you to do, if you weren't one of the 15 individuals that was chosen to provide testimony tonight, please don't forget to write your thoughts down, or if you've already have them written down, bring them to us so that we can include them in our packets. We all spend a lot of time reading those, so please make sure you do that as well. So before we break into small groups, I want to take a moment to remember why we're here tonight. I'm speaking to the task force now. As a group, we've identified 30 outcomes that we want this measure to deliver on. Those goals represent a lot of different needs for the region. They're all important, and we all agreed to them. We all have different viewpoints on those goals, though. And tonight, the opportunity is for us to sit in small groups to talk through what these issues are, to listen. You know, it's like when you tell your kids to make sure your ears are bigger than your mouth. You know, you listen hard to what the others around you are saying so that you can learn from them as well. So I really encourage you to provide your thoughts and to make sure that you're listening to someone that perhaps you haven't talked with before about these projects and about the different thoughts on the corridors. So this is our work, both today and the next month, to come together to provide these recommendations. Make sure that you please take the time to listen to each other.
So I want to echo Pam Sorab, thank you, and also help us remember both how important our job as this advisory committee is, but also to put our role in perspective of the larger work that's happening. Our job here is for us to bring our collective regional knowledge to give Metro Council the tools and advice it needs to make a decision about whether or not to refer a measure to the voters in May. And we all want that possible measure to be as strong as possible and to benefit the region as much as possible, because we all are in this together as a region. But I've heard people say tonight, I've heard people say, as we've discussed this, that it's hard for you to think about this measure because what you really want is something bigger, whether it's $20 billion or $30 billion or even something the size of the Sound Transit's third measure that they passed. And I hear you. I think we all want that. We want to build with one measure something that would solve all of our regional's transportation issues for the next 30 years. And we've had, you know, we've seen other regions like Seattle and Salt Lake City and LA make truly huge investments in transportation. But the way that they did that was to first start by passing a series of smaller measures to build the trust with the voters. So as a task force, we're responsible for advising the Metro Council on an overall package that is good for the region. And we know that there's limits to what's politically palatable, both in terms of what people are willing to pay for and how they pay for it. And I think that, you know, as you're aware, we are more constrained in terms of how we are able to raise our revenue, what tools we have at our disposal. And, you know, just this past year, the legislature even further limited the tools that we have to use to raise that revenue. So I think today it's important to focus on the tasks that we have at hand and think about how the investments that are here in the staff recommendations or others that you're considering might make it possible for all of us who live here, you know, to improve our transportation system and the impact it can have on our lives, and try to put off a little bit about how we wish it was larger, because I think all of us in the room would like that to happen. There's a lot of good information that we're going to be talking about today in the recommendations that you have before you, and that there's a lot of ways that these recommendations intersect with the values that we really started this entire process with in our last 13 meetings. We've continued to touch on those. So I'm excited that we have this chance together to talk about it as a small group, and I'm looking forward to hearing how that's going to go. So, Allison, you want to let us know?
So in between this meeting and our last meeting, task force members, you were asked to fill out a survey. And in that survey, we saw some pretty strong feelings, both in support and in opposition of some projects and corridors. And up on the slide in front of you are some of the corridors where we saw the most divergence in opinion, which is not to say that it was an even split, but there are definitely differences in the way people characterize these corridors and talked about them. So we put this up here as a way to start to begin these conversations and for you to take the time to deliberate in small groups and talk about the things that you feel are important, whether in support of some of these corridors and projects, or if you feel that they should be changed or amended or perhaps taken out of a potential recommendation to council. So that's one piece. Some of you also in the survey indicated that you had additional questions on programs and the possible Tier 2 projects. And there was a memo included in your packet at the last meeting. And just want to remind you that there will be a lot of time in the future. Maybe not a lot, but there will be time. Time is kind of our enemy in this process. But there will be time to talk about programs and Tier 2 projects in more detail. But tonight we're asking you to focus on the Tier 1 projects that were included in the staff recommendation. We are going to break into small groups and have discussion for probably about 50 minutes. We're slightly ahead of schedule, so we'll take a little bit more time for you to discuss. When we do break into groups, we have asked a table captain to be at each table. I see you, Mayor Gamble, I'll get you in just a second. So we have Nolan and Catherine at the two tables in the back who, they're not facilitators, they're just helping to make sure that everybody has an opportunity to speak and to help keep the conversation kind of on track. And then we're going to ask our two chairs to join the tables in the front. And if you can choose when you break into your groups, one person who will be responsible for a report back. And just to be that person, make sure that they're taking notes to give a sense of the character of your conversation. Are there points of consensus that you come to? Is there agreement on the table on some of these things? Are there differences of opinion that you feel that you should highlight and share with the rest of the group? Metro staff are also available and floating around the room. If you have a technical question or something that needs clarification, please flag them down. I can also help with that. And they will be there to answer any questions that you might have. But as the chairs noted, really the purpose of this is for you to have an opportunity to talk to each other and to kind of put everything out on the table this evening. So your feedback will help shape how we approach the next meeting. So if there's something, if you didn't get an opportunity to take the survey and there's something that you're sitting with and you feel like it's an important thing for the rest of your task force to hear, now is the opportunity. Because next meeting, we're looking at a potential recommendation to council on the 20th of November. So this is an opportunity for us to deliberate as a group. Members of the public, this is the opportunity where we ask the task force to talk in their small groups. We welcome the conversation that you will have with each other, and you're welcome to stay. I would just ask if you do stay within the room. This is not a very cozy room, so if you can keep your volume down so that folks can hear each other around their tables. You're also welcome to pop outside, go hang out for a little bit, and we will be coming back together around 7 for a report back. So if you want to tune back in and get the key points later, 7 o'clock is the time to be back in the room. Bless you. So with that, we have a couple. I'm just going to use my loud voice now. We're just asking you to really talk about your thoughts on the projects and corridors where we saw the most divergence of opinion when you took the survey. But also, if there are other projects that you want to put on the table or talk about or voice either strong support or concern about, now is a great time to do that. And we'd like you to talk a little bit about why you support these or why not, and some of your reasoning behind those. And maybe some of the things, if you are not in support of some of these projects or you have concerns, what would you want to see change in order to support them? And finally, of course, if there are other projects or corridors that you have concerns about, again, this is kind of your opportunity to talk to each other and to deliberate. So, Mary, did you have a question?
I did. In my recollection, 82nd Avenue was a fairly popular corridor last time I looked. Is it on the list because there's an additional project on it that wasn't there before, or what about 82nd has made it all of a sudden contentious?
So I don't think it's an all of a sudden thing, but there were some concerns raised in the survey specifically about Airport Way. So we just want to put that out there as we're looking at corridors holistically, and Airport Way is included in that corridor. The question was why 82nd, if you didn't hear, is on the list, because it seems to have a high level of support so far. Any other questions from the task force before we dive on in? Sure. So I will say that some of the information that people provided was quite limited, so I can only give you the information that I have. 185th, and some of you might have put these down, so you'll probably be able to characterize these better. But 185th, we did see some kind of divergence of opinion on the max overcrossing at baseline. On Clackamas to Columbia, I didn't get a lot of context on that one. That was just listed as, again, projects that people had strong feelings in support of, and then also a corridor that was listed as an area of concern. And then Sunrise was similar. I didn't get any context on that, but it was just something that people noted as being in favor or against. So I can't tell you anymore. You're going to have to tell each other. So with that, I'm going to invite you to break into your small groups. If you have additional process questions, feel free to flag me down. And Metro staff are available if you have a technical question. Sorry, I jumped the gun. Yeah, Michael?
It's on. You just have to talk really loud.
I'm not sure. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you. Folks, if I can get you just to quiet for a second, we do have a question from a task force member.
Yeah, I understood the words of the charge. I don't know that I understand the intent. The two illustrations we had about why these were listed, without having asked that question, we could have spent the next 10 minutes in a relatively fruitless discussion without understanding why these were raised. I understand we're a big group, but trying to go through all of these in small discussions with varying levels of awareness, understanding, impact is like trying to boil the ocean. I'm hoping that there's a way to have this discussion engage a larger membership here because whatever concerns raise these, there needs to be the opportunity for somebody to explain that. And I don't know that that's going to happen as we sort of move around from table to table with uneven understanding around why they are where they are. We don't have a lot of time, but there can be too little time or too much time not spent well.
So can I make a suggestion?
Absolutely.
And we can see if this will work. How about we spend a little bit less time in small group discussion, but one of your tasks can be to collect questions that you have. If everyone around your table does not understand a project or a corridor and Metro staff are not able to illuminate and you feel that there's somebody else in the room, we can spend a little bit more time and report back to offer you an opportunity to answer those questions with each other. It's not perfect. We are also a 35-person task force, which poses some problems in terms of process and how we're going to give everybody an opportunity to speak. So I hear your frustration, but would that be an okay way to maybe offer some opportunity for you to talk to each other?
A little bit more information that he's aware of, and perhaps that will help us get started. Okay?
As I understand the question was why are these corridors, or why are you being asked to talk about these corridors? Is that the question? Why these in particular? So in the survey instrument, we asked folks to react to the overall project list of the corridors and give us high-level feedback of where are you seeing corridors you really like, where are you seeing corridors of concern. In some areas, we got very specific information. I would say, in general, the concerns raised about some of these projects was about creating more capacity, creating more car movement. The airport way, Southwest 95th, with the MAX flyover, a new road linking two existing roads north to south, and the C to C, Clackamas to Columbia, and Sunrise Corridor were the concerns that were raised, to the extent that people made a note about it, which they didn't always do. They sometimes just listed it, had to do with increasing car capacity versus transit safety, other projects. So that's the best context I can give you from both the survey and what we've heard. Generally, we didn't hear a lot about other corridors. There seemed to be support for them and not as much concern raised. So we were hoping we can have you talk to each other tonight about differences on these corridors, understanding why some jurisdictions are proposing these, what the benefits are, and for those who have concerns, expressing those concerns and talking through some of that.
So the problem with that is I don't know anything about 185th. Is there somebody at this table that's going to argue for 185th?
Well,
to discuss it 185th.
I say it should be an explanation and clarification.
So, but to whom? I mean, I could go and talk to you about 185th and why I think I don't know anything about it. You can argue, talk to me about why you support.
So
I mean, I could stand up right now and tell you why I support the Sunrise. Mm-hmm.
Jim, and I think the four that are listed here, first of all, those were the four that got the most comments, either a negative or positive comments. Those four got the most comments. So it's highly likely that someone at your table made a comment about one of these corridors. But the Metro staff is also here if you don't have somebody or if you don't have information to come by and help you as well.
And I would add to that, so these weren't just corridors where, you know, some people felt strongly for them or some people felt strongly against them. It was actually people felt both strongly for them and multiple other people felt strongly against them for different reasons. This tonight, I know that we have like very specific questions that we've asked you to consider and really using these corridors as a focus. I do want to point out the last bullet point, and really this is our opportunity as a group to have a discussion with each other before we go to the recommendation stage at the next meeting. So if you are uncomfortable with exactly how this is set up, ask staff to help clarify as we move into the discussion. But also know that we can expand on it. The last thing is, are there other projects you feel strongly about? This is your opportunity to, I think, give your feelings about the recommendations as a whole as well. This is our chance as a group to talk with each other about it before we move into the recommendation stage. And I think if we can take that to heart and we can ask staff for questions that we have about specific corridors, if you don't have any expert on those corridors at your table, that might be a good way to move forward.
All right, I'm sensing a little discomfort with our process, but I'm still going to encourage you to just dive on in and have some conversation. We'll come back together to give a little bit more time for us to talk to each other in a larger group at 5 till. All right, folks, this is your 2-minute warning. We'll be coming back together in 2 minutes. Folks, I'm going to bring us back together. So I'll invite you to share your final thoughts. Members of the public and observers, I'd invite you to take your seats. Right, so the time has come for us to hear a little bit of the flavor of the conversations that you had. And I know some folks are getting settled. I asked you to choose someone from your group to be able to report back and to share the flavor of the conversation. So again, anything that came out from your discussion of these corridors, of these projects, any points of consensus, any points of divergent opinion, any other projects that emerged that folks had strong feelings about, whether those were feelings of concern or feelings of support. And we're getting some final feedback from some of the groups. So we have a roving mic, and I'm going to ask kind of the representative from each group to share the flavor of their conversation. If there are also questions that came up, to Michael's points, if there are questions that you'd like to ask other people in our larger task force group, I'd invite you to raise those as well. We'll take a little bit more time for report back than we had in our original agenda. Our roving mic is not as strong as these mics, so I just encourage you to really get in there and speak loudly into the microphone.
It does work, though.
It does work.
It does work.
Thank you, Craig, for demonstrating that. So is there any group that would like to go first? Okay, there we go. Meredith, going to kick us off. And Meredith, would you mind standing up just so everybody can see you? We're in a weird configuration.
I was voluntold, that is how Vivian said I was selected. So sure. So we had actually a pretty robust conversation about a lot of things. I'll start with kind of the big picture things, or the questions, as you said. I think the most pertinent is we felt like we need another meeting as a task force before we're actually voting on this in November, because we really need more discussion altogether about a lot of these pieces. There was also some conversation about, you know, if this is really a first step kind of investment package now, really working on what is that big picture that we're moving toward, and how are we creating that ultimate vision and making clear to the public that this is really moving us toward that transformational change that we all know we need and we hear the public saying we need, and that meets the goals that we've all developed together. So some of the other things that were discussed, I'll just run through in no particular order. You know, one big question that a few of us had was, why why weren't enhanced transit corridors prioritized in every corridor selected? We saw them removed from ones like 162nd and 181st, so you're providing safety improvements and not the transit improvements needed there too, and people deserve reliable and affordable transit, especially in these far out areas. So that was a big question we had. We did have a robust conversation about Clackamas County without having Clackamas County in our small group. So we really felt the need to and desire to hear more from Clackamas County community members, and perhaps our next meeting that we've just decided we need could be in Clackamas County, the way we had one in Washington County, and that made it much more accessible for folks to come and represent. We are struggling with the lack of projects that feel like they meet the overall task force values in Clackamas County. And so, but we know they're there, and we know there's a lot of rich projects that can meet our safety and climate equity and all of our goals that we've identified. So how does Clackamas County work with Metro staff? How do we hear from community members? How do we create that that list together to show how are we achieving these task force goals with these projects? Let's see. You know, one big thing we heard that I thought was really important is we haven't talked enough about the job creation opportunities through construction and how do we apply those to this measure. There's the C2P2, for example, and other bonds have and measures have included those really important pipelines to good quality jobs, and we think that's critical here. How are we, again, just lifting up and tying this to our affordable housing planning and where that goes to make sure that we are connecting these corridors to where that housing is, and knowing that that's going to continue to evolve. So on 82nd Avenue, there was it was highlighted that the Airport Way project does not check a single box of the lit goals. That really stood out to everyone, and there hasn't been any discussion about it and the real necessity for it, how it moves forward our task force goals and values. And so that was certainly a big question on that corridor. There was the folks who knew the Southwest 185th wanted to lift up that it is needed for traffic and safety issues. And so that is why that overpass is critical there. And then, let's see. Oh, the other big question was, what are the real measurable outcomes from what's being proposed here? Where are we seeing all of the, that we are moving the ball forward and achieving, even if this is a first step, how are we achieving our greenhouse gas goals, our equity goals, our safety goals? And so really wanting to see that. And then finally, there was a real feeling we have, when you look at the fairness and the holistic view of what's being selected here, we have one primary corridor in each county. We have McLaughlin, TV Highway, and 82nd. But none of the projects proposed get us there to really finishing and completing the transformational vision for each of those corridors. And so there was a real desire to see, can we actually double down and invest and finish each and create what we want to see, that transformational change across our transportation system? Let's bare minimum start with those three, one in each county, and really finish the job in addition to these other rich and really critical investments that are proposed. Did I miss anything? I feel like I've been talking a very long time. No? Okay. All right, thanks. That's what I got. Did any questions come up in your group that you wanted to ask anybody else in the room? Well, I kind of eyeballed, like, Clackamas County. I looked at Jim. There was also, I'm sorry, the other thing that is just a little more specific. Again, in Clackamas, we really wanted to hear more about the Oak Grove Lake Oswego Bridge, the Gladstone Trolley Trail Bridge, and some of these other opportunities as well that have been kind of put down on the Tier 2 list. So that is something that I think others in the room, I'm looking at other groups, would be able to speak more about and where those can fit in here.
Okay. So before I turn the rest of the meeting over to Jim, I want to give everybody an opportunity, but that might be something. I did also see when you noted that there might be a need for additional discussion for another meeting. I saw quite a few nodding heads around the room. I'm seeing more right now. So I think that sends a strong message, and I thank you for your feedback.
I didn't want to ask for more homework, you know, and everyone
hey, it's cool. It's cool. Thank you. Should we go to the back table? Yeah.
Good evening, everyone. We evaluated these four corridors based on how far they went toward meeting our goals around safety, equity, climate, and transit ridership. The group was generally supportive of these corridors, but we had a couple that we had follow-up questions on. One is 82nd. I think we had consensus that most of the project is very exciting. Community's been waiting a long time. It's a high crash corridor. The improvements are needed. But there are questions around Airport Way and concerns that that is going to be accommodating more traffic. Feeding the beast is what Nolan wrote down. It's going to be very appealing for Vancouver commuters. And we really want to see transit trips somehow incentivized, maximized. There's already a great line out there. I think I got everything on that page. And then Sunrise, there was a little lack of clarity around the multimodal investments and the fact that the project doesn't really seem to be getting people out of their cars. We understand it's a high jobs area. It needs investment. We are wondering about the fact that the Sunrise planning component doesn't meet many of our criteria. The other issues that we discussed are how accurate are these costs. We have a lot of concern about not being able to deliver, disappointing voters, and undermining support for future bonds. It would be helpful if we could distinguish between which projects can be started versus completed with these funds. And there are ped bike transit projects that are in gray, which means they're not currently part of the corridor proposal, that we think are worth considering, especially those that create more transit access. And several projects seemed like they should have had a safety score but didn't have dots. So I think we just have a question about the methodology and what it means if there's no safety dot. That's it.
All right. And I guess same question for that group. Were there any questions that came up that you would want to sort of address or ask anybody else in the room? Just so we know if there are things. Cool. Thank you. Okay. And we'll maybe head on over to this room.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
We had some of the same themes, so I'll try not to repeat other than I think it is important to reinforce when you hear something more than once. We talked also about the task force values, safety, equity, climate, congestion as some, but not all. Before we started into the projects, we did talk a little bit about it's hard to have what kind of might appear like a trade-off conversation when we're still really unclear what the size of the overall package is. And I'm sensitive to what Jessica talked to about, of course, if we could do everything, we would, but we're also trying to do something that's, not going to, the sticker shock won't be so high that we won't even get to the conversation about the what. But that is an important frame for, I think, for all of us, and it was certainly an important frame for a question. So I got to the question before you asked it. See, I'm saving time already. We then talked about 82nd. There's a lot of positive sort of feedback around the 82nd corridor. It's a critical corridor. We talked about a lot of the safety projects, some of the themes that your table talked about too. We talked about the addition of the Airport Way project in both pluses and minuses, and then some clarification that we want around how the project will interact with the double tracking of the MAX line. So I think on that one, more information to help us understand. But some of the same themes about who are these improvements going to be benefiting in terms of people coming to and from the airport, and that we need a really balanced system, so we have to balance investments. We then talked about Southwest 185th. We had two experts on the project at our table, so that was good. I think we all learned a lot. We talked a little bit about the fatalities, one this week, the importance of syncing the traffic lights with the MAX crossing, a new affordable housing unit, 120 units at Baseline that's coming online, and how important, as the task force has talked about, leveraging investments in housing and transit together. We talked a lot about the MAX overcrossing. Again, some pluses and minuses about who that's benefiting. Probably I'd say more positive than anything else, but some questions about the addition of that element to the 185th. And then we talked about this on all the projects, but we talked about the notion of leveraging dollars. What dollars are we leveraging? And that shouldn't be a criteria that every project is evaluated on, because some projects don't bring any. Some projects that are really important don't bring projects to the table, but we should be looking at that leverage dollar metric. We talked about the C2C. I didn't have anyone from Clackamas County or portions of Multnomah at our table, so we were sort of going back to check in with how the LITs were prioritizing that project. We felt like in some ways the project, there was a lack of context around the project, but there was an opportunity that we shouldn't ignore to be really proactive in doing some planning for, we know, the growth that's occurring and happening today, and that will continue to happen into the future. And then quickly getting to this last one, which is the Sunrise Corridor. Sorry. Thank you, Michael. So it looked to us that this was really had been scaled back to really a project development investment, and that there was a really important opportunity to design some roadways for future opportunities, protected bike lanes, bus-only lanes. And we talked a little bit about putting accountability measures, not just for this project, but for all the projects, about the values that the task force has expressed over and over again. And particularly when you're looking at something that's just in that project development stage, how do you kind of carry those values all the way through if this project won't be developed, for example, for a decade? That's well after, I hope, this task force will be meeting. just kidding. We talked about as a touchstone, like how did the LIT feel about this project? Heard that the LIT was really split on this project. And I think maybe a last theme that applies to all and is something that I think Meredith closed with is we're looking as a task force, I think, for really transformational projects. And we think we have a couple. And maybe they all can't hit that criteria, but it is really, it's such a big opportunity. And we hope that this measure will inspire people and build momentum to maybe do future, you know, investments after this, and so it's to the extent that these can really be transformational, we think is an important consideration. So, do you guys want to add anything? Okay.
Okay. There we go. Getting a little tangled up. So we had a broader conversation about the overall package, and I'll try not to hit too many of the points.
I will speak into the mic. There's a feeling that the package is unlikely to lead to significant mode share split.
there were other thoughts that the package is actually quite a significant investment in safety and transit. There was particular excitement around TV Highway, 82nd, McLaughlin, and 122nd in the way of big opportunities to make improvements for safety and transit. There were concerns about road expansion and to the comment earlier about feeding the beast. There was a note to think more creatively about how the package is put together and what the narrative of the package is, right? Because we're not selling specific projects, and when we're talking to voters, we're going to be talking about an overall package. There were some questions about jurisdictional complications that can make projects more difficult in their nature. There's a broader question about what is the broader plan to advance mode share and what is T2020's role in this? So understanding that this is not the end-all, be-all of investment in transportation infrastructure, but what is it and where does it go from here? About specific projects, I'm actually going to let Chair Bernard speak to the discussion around the Sunrise Corridor. There was a good discussion about that and a potential revised thinking around the Sunrise Corridor. There was a question about 185th being an expensive project for a flyover. And there were several comments about 82nd, questions about the Airport Way investment. And I'll just say, as I work for the Port of Portland, that I'm happy to take time and do a deep dive on that project for anyone who would like that to be done. I'm happy to discuss it further. Now is not the time. There were general questions about the state of good repair and a desire for ODOT to do more in that capacity. There were concerns about having not a lot of money allocated for max access versus larger projects like 82nd and Airport Way. There's also a feeling that Clackamas County might not need the $30 to $40 million, might not need that full amount for their couple miles of that. Is that correct, Chair? Okay. So that's where we got. Folks, what am I missing? Anything? Chair Bernard, is there anything that you want to elaborate on?
I think we can take a couple minutes for that, since there was an explicit question.
Well, first, I think you can see from the group that there are a number of projects that have been identified that need more explanation, right? And I'll agree to that. So, I mean, I'd be happy to present a slideshow and talk about what we see as the value of these projects. I mean, I can show you in a picture that there are three manufactured home sites, which are affordable housing, that have very poor access to transit, if any, and lots of safety issues. They can't walk to a grocery store because there isn't one. And 212 is an old road that is often overly congested and unsafe to cross. There's no access for bicycles. So there's a huge opportunity, and that's what we're looking at. That is part of the Sunrise. I mean, if we want to be transformational, you give me $500 million, and I can make a transformational project. Because we have 14,000 new houses being built in Happy Valley, which will accommodate about 43,000 citizens, and 14,000 houses, I already said that, jobs. And so there's a huge opportunity out there. And Happy Valley is going to grow whether we want it to or not. And have you driven the Sunnyside? It's the only way to get through Happy Valley, and it's impossible. And it's going to be extremely bad. So there's a lot of transformation we can make there. But we're not going to make it with this money because it isn't enough. You know, 3.1, when a third of that goes to light rail, which is transformational, and something I very much support. But, it's a project. I think the fact that, you can drive anywhere in Portland, there's a road. Clackamas County doesn't have roads everywhere. You know, access to various parts of the county are limited because we don't have the roads. We have hills, rivers, and things that are in the way. So we have to figure out how to accommodate Happy Valley's growth. Damascus, we don't know if it's going to be here tomorrow or not. So if it's here tomorrow, there's huge opportunities in Damascus. It is within the UGB, so it could grow, even if it's not a city, and it will grow. But Happy Valley definitely will have a huge impact on the future. As far as McLaughlin, you know, I heard some on that. There's a bridge from Gladstone to Oregon City that would complete the trolley trail and would be very much supported by both communities. And I'm thinking that when we vote on this package, we want communities to support it, and this bridge will do exactly that. McLaughlin is full of parking lots where cars are being sold. There's huge opportunity for housing, affordable housing and mixed income housing on McLaughlin. It's a great place to invest, and it's been sitting there for decades. 82nd used to be pretty much the same thing. McLaughlin's what 82nd was when I was in high school in 1998. So, what?
Chair, I'm going to give you one more minute.
Okay.
We have to wrap up.
So as far as C2C, you know, one of the things we did is we reached out to our other jurisdictions to find out what worked for them. For Gresham and for Happy Valley and other citizens on that side, C2C is an important access to I-84, and there aren't many of those. Once you get out that far, unless you get out to Highway 26. So this is a great access. It's fairly inexpensive. It's a corridor that has a lot of safety issues, Foster and those streets where there's a lot of accidents. So I think it's key, another project that's key. But anyway, you had a lot of explanation on the project Airport Way, which I think is something we should talk about. I'd love to present more on McLaughlin and on 80 and Sunrise and on the bridge. And there's a number of projects up there that, you know, I think we could. If you've never driven out there, you have no idea. And so if I could show you, I'd be happy to.
So with that, you have an invitation if you would like to chat more with Chair Bernard or with Emerald and some of the other folks around the room. Chairs, I'm going to invite you back up for some closing remarks, but we do have a next step slide. And I think based on feedback this evening, it's highly likely that this could be our meeting. There could be more meetings in your future, which would be delightful. I love spending time with you. Really, I do. But chairs, I think you've been having some discussion in the last few minutes.
Yeah, so I think we're going to have, there has been furious discussion that's been happening as we've been reporting out on terms of providing the opportunity to have further discussion on this before as a group we need to make a recommendation. And so we're looking at potentially using our next meeting on November 20th to have that discussion and then adding a meeting where we would be making the recommendation to on Wednesday, December 4th. So look at your calendar because it's not right now blocked out for this and see how that works for you and let staff know if that is going to be a conflict for you. We'd love to, you know, as we're making the recommendation, making sure that we have as many people here as possible to do that. And we will let you know if that's a go or not.
And I'd like to thank staff for being so nimble to be able to put together that that option for us. And thank you to all of you who nodded your heads about an additional meeting.
Okay. So did you want to talk about next steps, Andy? Oh, yes.
Mayor Tim Knapp, did you have a comment?
So there's one other thing I'd like people to think about between now and the next meeting, and that is this discussion. I really found that a lot of the younger folks' testimony has resonated with me over the last few weeks, and the talk about transformational systems. And the question is whether we're really on a track toward any kind of a transformational alternative mode system or not. 2040 says we're looking at 1.4 million more daily trips by 2040. So we were also talking about 2040 was projected in the middle 90s, and the world looked a lot different in the middle 90s than it looks now. So it may be worse than that. The idea about what a transformational system would be, I think, is important to talk about. There is a group called Portland Forward who you've heard a little bit about. And I have a handout I'd like to pass around, and someone's going to help me, I think, by passing around to the other tables. Where'd Ron go? Did we lose? Oh, he's doing it. Okay. This is an idea for a transformational transit system. And it's not that this is perfect or that this is the be-all, end-all. It's a concept of, you know, what might a transformational public transit system look like. And there are some interesting ideas in here. So I encourage us to maybe absorb that and be ready to talk about that if we have the opportunity to have another meeting where we can sort of, you know, think about some of these concepts. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We have time for one last comment. Our goal is to always be out of here at 7:30.
He needs to talk about next steps.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh.
We all know that next steps for Tyler, since today is this woman's due date, so I think that she deserves a round of applause here.
No, but I was literally put to do this slide because it's ironic. And I will say I think a lot of this has changed given the interest that we just heard in a December 4th meeting. So what we had anticipated is that in advance of the meeting where we would ask you to make a decision, we would ask people to send us amendments you would like to make to the package ahead of time. We will likely still continue that, but it sounds like November 20th woo-hoo, be the day for that. So what we will ask you to do now is we will send out an email tomorrow asking people to let us know if meeting on December 4th works for you. It would be 5:30 to 7:30, likely here, I think, just given that we need to pull something together quickly. If that works for enough people that we feel like we could ask you to make a recommendation at that meeting, we will schedule time then, and we will talk about how we'll ask you to submit amendments in advance of that meeting. We would still have the November 20th meeting where we would not ask you to, I don't think we would ask you to send us anything ahead of time. Yeah.
Unless they want to, right? I mean, if they're ready.
Yes.
If they're ready, I mean, maybe we should start with
this. That's a good point, yeah. So we'll ask you, does December 4th work for you, and do you think it would be helpful to have another meeting before you're asked to give a recommendation? So we'll ask you for that two-part answer, and we'll take the group's temperature as much as possible. We would still have a December 18th meeting, so I want to flag that. That is out at the Clackamas County Community College, and that will be starting to talk about revenue. So fun conversation then.
And I was saying that maybe if people have amendments, I was thinking that if people had amendments that they wanted us to discuss and consider at the next meeting, so maybe we can get them in ahead of time for that, not necessarily about having the next meeting.
Yeah, okay. That's a good, yeah. Yes, good point. So we will send you an email with some questions. It's really the summary of this tomorrow, and we'll ask you to get back to us as quickly as possible so we can talk with a bit more concrete perspective about next steps. And with that, I'll turn it over to the co-chairs to end the meeting. So, thank you all.
I want to say thank you to everybody for being here, and thank you to our audience for being so courteous. We appreciate it. Give us the opportunity to talk at our tables.
Yes, yeah, so thank you, everybody, for your attention, your great discussion, and I'm glad that we're going to have some more opportunity to do that before we have to make a meeting. And thanks again, and see you on November 20th.
Travel safely.